The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Gittin Daf Tes Zayin, and we are a little more than 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara was discussing the first Mishnah in the second parak of Masechtas Gittin, which discusses someone that brought a get from Medina Sayyam, a shliach lo ilocha, to Eretz Yisrael, and rather than just do what the Chachamim required him to do, which is say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam, he didn't get it entirely right. And the Mishnah had several cases. He said b'fanai nechtav, he didn't say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtav kuloi, b'fanai nechtam chetzioi, echad oimer b'fanai nechtav, echad oimer b'fanai nechtam, shnayim oimer b'faneinu nechtav, echad oimer b'fanai nechtav. So the Mishnah had a whole bunch of different cases. We started seeing a little bit at the second part of yesterday's daf, and we're going to see it again in the second part of today's daf. But the first part of today's daf is actually a digression, and the Gemara digresses into a completely unrelated sugya, the sugya of Tahiris. Now, much of Tahiris is actually rather complicated. A small portion of it is not so complicated. Today's daf discusses the latter part, the less complicated, and then as an added bonus, there's actually some interesting halacha l'maisa that comes out of the first part of today's daf. So at the very end of the Gemara was discussing a shliach that brought a get from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Befanai nechtam chetzioi." So one of the two chasimois he saw signed in front of him, and as a result, he's being mekayim that chasimo with the takanas chachamim of befanai nechtam. The other half, however, he didn't see. Mishnah says that even in a case where we're being mekayim the other chasimo through a conventional kiyum shtaris, still the halacha is that the get's going to be possible. And even though you can argue, let's be mitztarif the befanai nechtam chetzioi and the kiyum shtaris on the other chetzioi, so that together you would have a regular kiyum chesamois. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Why not? Because befanai nechtav and kiyum shtaris is an everything or nothing. Oy kuloi bekiyum aget, oy kuloi betakonas chachamim. So we're discussing this svara of oy kuloi bekiyum aget, oy kuloi betakonas chachamim. So an Amid Gemara of different areas in halacha where you find this svara of either entirely bekiyum aget or entirely betakonas chachamim. So the first case is as follows: Amrav Chizda gidud chamisha u'mechitza chamisha. We know that mida iraisa there are two rishuyos as it relates to Hilchas Shabbos. There's a Rishus HaYochid, there's a Rishus HaRabim. There's a Brais in Masechta Shabbos, Davov HaMeralt, that discusses Dalid Rishuyos in Shabbos. That's only, however, on the Rabbonon level. Mid Rabbonon, in addition to a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim, there's also something called a Carmelis, which you become very familiar with if you learn the first part of Masechta Shabbos, and there's something called a Mokum Ptor. But Midday Raisa, there's either a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRabim. What's the definition of a Rishus HaYochid? So it's an enclosed area. Enclosed means that it's surrounded by mechitzos. The mechitzos have to be 10 tefachim tall. So if it's an area that's surrounded by 10 tefachim tall, the area itself has to be dal ramas. But as far as the mechitzos go, 10 tefachim, that would constitute mechitzos to create the area inside of it as a rishus hayachid. So Reb Chizda said, what would be if somebody dug a ditch 5 tefachim deep, and then on the top of the ditch, he built a mechitza that was 5 tefachim tall? Could you say that if somebody's inside the ditch, being that if he looks up, he sees a wall of 10 tefachim, he's in a rishus hayachid? Or being that you don't have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim, and you don't have the walls of the ditch 10 tefachim, you can't be mitzdarif the two. Rav Chizda said a chiddush, kidud chamisha, u'mechitza chamisha, ein mitzdarif. It doesn't work. Achi, oy kula b'mechitza, you have to have either a wall that's 10 tefachim, oy kula b'gidud, or the wall of the bar has to be 10 tefachim. But to be mitzdarif the wall of the bar and the mechitza that you built on top of the bar together to create a mechitza for the purpose of Rishus HaYochid, that doesn't work. Darsh Mireimar argued, Gidut Chamisha U'mechitza, hey, mitzdarfin. It does work. The Hilchasa, and as it relates to the Halacha, mitzdarfin. So again, what does this have to do with the previous sugya? Because you see a svar that even though a Gidud of Asar Tvachim would work, and a Mechitza of Asar Tvachim would work to create what's inside of it, a Rishus HaYochid, but you can't be mitzdarif, a shtickle Gidud and a shtickle Chamitza. Mechitza, similar to the halacha of oy kuloi betakanas chachamim, oy kuloi bekiyum aget. Boy Ilfa. Ilfa asked the shaila, yadayim toheris lechatzoim, oy ein toheris lechatzoim. Could hands that are tomei become toher lechatzoim or not? Heichidam, so the Gemara says, explain the shaila. Ilayim the komashu beitrei mirvias, did Ilfa mean to ask whether if two people want to wash their hands that are tamei for netilas yadayim purposes, using one revius, that is a halacha, that before you wash netilas yadayim, whether it's for a suda or whether it's negel vaser in the morning, you have to use a revius. You need a revius of mayim, and from the revius, you're supposed to wash your hands. So it was ilfa shayla of yadayim tahoros lechatzoyim, that if two people are going to use the same revius, is a kosher, not meaning each person's going to ultimately only really have a half a revius allocated for him, is that kosher or not? But the Gemara says, Vatan, it couldn't have been Ilfa Shailo. Ilfa was an Amora. And he couldn't have been asking a question that's really a Mefurash Mishnah. Time we learned in the Mishnah, Mirvias, Noitin Liodayim Le'echod, Vafilu Lishnaim. It's a Mefurash Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you can use a Revias not just for one person, you can use it for two people. In fact, this is the first Mishnah Mesachtes Yadayim. So there's no question that that was not Ilfa Shailo. For Ella, maybe Ilfa Shailo was as follows. The Kamashi Chodu Chodu Yadayim. Maybe a Shailo was, can you wash one hand, break a little bit, and then wash your other hands? When you wash the Tilas Yadayim, naturally you have to wash both hands. Maybe Ilfa Shaila of Yesh Yodayim Tahiris Lachatzom, Ain Tahiris Lachatzom was, can you wash one hand at a time? But the Gemara says that couldn't have been a Shaila either, because for tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Hanoitel Yodayim Achas Benetil of Achas Beshtifa. What if a person washes one hand conventionally, meaning he pours water on top of his hand, and the other hand, rather than wash it, he sticks it into a body of water? So the Aloch is Tahiris, it's going to be Tar. And if that works, then certainly if you take a break, a pause in between washing your two hands, that should work as well. I saw in the Teresh Shmuel, he adds a nice beer into what the Gemara Shaila was and how the Gemara was pushing it from this Mishnah, because the Shaila of whether you need to wash both hands with Asachas or you can wash them independently is, do we look at the two hands as one netila? You have to do one netila on both hands, or you have to do a netila on this hand, you have to do a netila on that hand. If it's one netila on both hands, then presumably you can't be mafsik in between the netila of the two hands. But if it's two independent netilas, then there shouldn't be an issue. And that the Gemara is bringing a raya from a Mishnah, that achas benetila of achas b'shtifa works. So you see that two independent netilas, because if it was one netila, you would have to do either one netila for both or one shtifa for both. But either way, the Gemara is a raya from a Mishnah to that Shaila, so that it can't be that was Ilfa Shaila. Because again, Ilfa knew the Mishnayah, so there's no way that he was asking a Shaila that you can be pushed from a Mefurish Mishnah. So the Gemara takes a third crack at it. Ve'ela the Kamashi, Palka Palka the Yadi. Maybe the Shaila was, can a person wash his hand where he's going to wash half his hand, dry it, and then wash the other half of the hand? So he washed the entire hand. He didn't really pause very long between the two netilas, but what he did do was he dried the part of his hand that he had washed before he washed the other part of his hand. Maybe that was a shayla. Yesh, yodayim tahiris lechatzom, or ain't tahiris lechatzom. But the Gemara says that can't be a shayla, because Rami Debir Abdiyanai, yodayim ain't tahiris lechatzom. That doesn't work. So again, it's mefurish. Says the Gemara, leitzricha, the ishka makut, mashka teifeach. Maybe the shayla was where he dried his hand, but they're still a little moist, meaning he didn't dry it completely. So it could be when Rabbi Yannai said, Yodayim ain't the hoiris lechatzoim, he was talking about where you dried it completely. Oh, you dried it completely over there, it doesn't work, but maybe it's still a little wet, it's still a little moist. So the fact that you still have a little water from the original netila makes it as if the first netila still is kayam. Now that you're washing the second half of your hand, you have some way of connecting the two netilas, maybe there it should be okay. That was Ilfa Shaila, but the Gemara says that couldn't either have been a shayla, because v'chi'ika mashke teifech my hava, that shouldn't make a difference. Time we went to the Mishnah, hanitzoik v'haketafres u'mashke teifech einoi chibur loy l'tumo v'loy l'tairos. This sounds like a very intimidating Mishnah Masechtes Tairos, but it's actually not as intimidating when you get to know it. Basically, the Mishnah is discussing two bodies of water. There were two bodies of water that were connected either via a nitzok or a ketafres, or a mashke teifach. A nitzok, Rashi says, is a kiluach. Just there's a stream of water going from body of water A to body of water B. A ketafris is also a stream of water. The more literal definition, Rashi says, is a har meshupa. It's a very steep mountain. Shemidreine mechuded harbe. That just has a very steep slope. So again, there was a body of water on top of the mountain. There was a body of water on the bottom of the mountain. And there's a stream of water that's going from the top down to the bottom. And finally, mashke teifach, where you have two bodies of water the area in between is not dry, but it's moist, it's damp. So that again, there's a chibur of some sorts between the bodies, two bodies of water. Says the Mishnah in Tyrus, ein chibur, that despite the fact that there is something connecting them, whether it's the nitzuk, the ketafres, or the mashket teifach, ein chibur, it's not considered connected to halacha, loy l'tumo, v'loy l'tara. Whether we're going to chumra to make something tome, or whether we're going to kula to make something tar. The case of tumo would be, if one body of water was tome, and the other one was tar, so you can make the argument that if they're both connected via this stream, so now they both become tome. So that's the Mishnah. The Tyra would be if you had two mikvahs, each one of them is less than Arbon Sa'ah, they're both lacking the shear. So maybe Lakula say that the Chibur, this stream of water, connects the two. So between the two of them, if you have Arbon Sa'ah, maybe each one would be a kosher mikvah. So that's the Mishnah. But what do you see that's relevant to our Gemara? Mashkit Toifeach, Eino Chibur. That the fact that you have a moist, a wet area in between the two, that doesn't mean anything. It has no significance in Halacha. It has no significance in Hilchas Taira. So too, regarding Ilfa Shai, you're telling me Ilfa was clearing a Shiloh, where although the halach is that if you wash part of your hand, then you dry it, then you wash the other part of your hand, it's certainly not considered a netilah. But maybe if the water was still a little bit on your hand was a little moist from the fact that you had originally washed it, you didn't dry it completely, maybe that would impact things. Maybe that would change something. But if you see that the mashkit teifach is irrelevant in the Mishnah and Tyrus, it should be irrelevant over here as well. So the Gemara says, again, that couldn't have been Ilfa Shiloh. So what was Ilfa Shiloh? So the Gemara takes another crack at it. Like, tzricho de'ika teifeach latfiach. It's talking about, in Ilfa's case, where it wasn't just moist. It was so moist that if something would touch it, that thing would become moist enough to make something else moist. So that's an often quoted phrase. It comes from this Gemara right here. Vir Ilfa suggested maybe it would be different. So although there is a mission in Tyrus, it doesn't matter. Maybe that's only when it's a little moist. But where it's so moist that it can make something else moist, which it can even make something else moist, there maybe it would work. But the Gemara says, Anami Tanina, that could either have been Ilfa Shaila. Why? Because Tefeach Latfiach Chibur. It's a Mefurish Abraisa that says that is a Chibur. So if it's a regular Mashke Tefeach, it's a Mishnah that it's not a Chibur. If it's a Tefeach Latfiach, it's a Mefurish Abraisa that it is a Chibur. So again, Ilfa is not asking a Shiloh that's a Mefurish Mishnah. He's also not asking a Shiloh that's a Mefurish Braisa. But the Gemara says that no. It could be that last Braisa that says that a Tefeach Latfiach is considered a Chibur. That was said L'inyam Mikvois. And there's a Sfora to say that maybe L'inyam Mikvois it would be considered a Chibur. Maybe Ilfa Shiloh was, is it also a Chibur in Hilchas Netilas Sidayim? Why would it be a Sfara to make something a Chibur, L'inyam Mikvois, that's not considered a Chibur, L'inyam Netilas Sidayim? What's the precedence for that? So the Gemara says, we have precedence. Rabbi Yehudi, the family, the Mishnah, Mikvah Sheish Barabam, Samachuvanois. Someone had a Mikvah that was exactly kosher. It had the minimum amount of water that a Mikvah has to have, and that is Arbam So. The Yodashnaim, the Tovel, two people went into the Mikvah, to be Tovel, says the Mishnah, Bezeh Acharzeh, if first one went and then the other went, Rishon Tahar Vasheni Tame. The first one, Tavel, in the mikvah of Arbam Sa'ah is going to be Tahar. The second one's going to be Tame, because we assume that when the first person left the mikvah, he took some of the water out with him. And being that all we had was Arbam Sa'ah Mechuvanos, by the time the second person Tavel, he's not Taveling anymore in a kosher mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says a kulon. Hoyu Raglav Shal Rishon. Noigoyis B'mayim. If the first person that Taveled didn't completely leave the mikvah, but his feet are still inside the mikvah. So even though his body's outside of the mikvah, the halacha is afasheni tar. Then the second person that toivels is going to be tar, because we say that the water that's on the body of the first person that toivel is still connected to the mikvah. And this works with the halacha of Gerachis. This is actually, if you look in the Maseres Hashas, it's a Gemara Chagiga, Daf Yutes Amar Aleph. So over there, it was the Iker Sugya. We had no choice but to go into it, what we learned it at the time. It's a very difficult Gemara. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says a chiddush, that the water that's on the body of the first person that toivel via gurachis is somehow considered part of the mikvah. So you see a chiddush in mikvahs that you could say gurachis, that even water that's not mamish in the mikvah is treated as if it's in the mikvah. So maybe teifeach latfiach also works in your mikvahs. But you have no right that it would work in your netilas sidayim. That was precisely Ilfa Shiloh. Ilfa Shiloh was teifeach latfiach, which we find works in other area. Would it work here or would it not work here? Exhale. So on this note, just a few ha'aras. First of all, you can't go through a Gemara that mentions Ilfa without just reminiscing exactly who Ilfa was. So Ilfa is of Mesachtes Tainis Dav Chof Aleph Amar Aleph fame. So Ilfa was a great Amor, but he's not mentioned very often in Shas. The Gemara that tells the story, the Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa were learning together in Yeshiva. They were chavrusos, and one day they decided that they're going to go to work, and they're going to be became the pasuk that says efes kilo yeh b'chay evyoin. There's a haftach. Hashem says that there aren't going to be poor people amongst Klal Yisrael. They were in yeshiva, they were poor, and they said, "Oh, let's go out to work. We'll be able to become this pasuk of efes kilo yeh b'chay evyoin." The Gemara says they're on their way wherever they're going, and they stop to have lunch. And the area that they stopped to have lunch had a koisel ru'ua. There was a dilapidated wall that was right next to it. And the context of the Gemara is, what the Gemara discusses, it's not pasha to sit next to a dilapidated wall, because it's ma'orer, a din, and shamayim, because you're putting yourself into a matzakana. So as they're reading, Rabbi Yochanan overhears a baskel. He hears two malachim talking, saying, let's take this wall, let's knock it down on these two people. So the other malach says to the malach that wanted to knock the wall down, he says, don't. He said, why? Because there's one person here that's mesugel one day, he's going to accomplish great things. And I don't want to kill him. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to Ilfa. He says, did you hear anything? He says, no. So he said, Vaisleis, I'm that person. So Rabbi Yochanan told Ilfa, I had a change of heart. I'm going back to yeshiva. I'm going to learn. Ilfa said, Hatzlacha, Hatzlacha. Ilfa goes off to the business world. Rabbi Yochanan goes back to yeshiva. The Gemara says, many, many years later, Ilfa came back to yeshiva. And he goes and he meets his great friend, his great chavrus, Rabbi Yochanan, and he sees that he became the melech, he became the Rosh Yeshiva, and everyone's giving him tremendous kavod. And they went over to Ilfa, they told Ilfa that had you not stayed in yeshiva, you would have probably been the Rosh Yeshiva today. Meaning at the time that they had left, Ilfa was ahead of Rabbi Yochanan. But because Ilfa went out to work, and Rabbi Yochanan remained in yeshiva, he ended up becoming the Rosh Yeshiva. So Ilfa turns to the Talmidim, and he tells the Talmidim that I want you to know that just because I went to work and I left yeshiva doesn't necessarily mean I'm not learning. In fact, I'll challenge you. Ask me any Braisa, mention a Braisa, and you'll see I can be poshed from a Mishnah. And if I can't, I'm going to jump into the water. The Gemara says, Tala Biskaria, he stood on the mast of a ship, and he told people, bring it on, challenge me. You quote a Mishbraisa, and I'll bring you right from a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, it was one old man who didn't have such a good sense of humor, and he went, and he asked him some very difficult Braisa, and the Gemara said he was poshed from a Mishnah. Ironically, the sugi was Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. What we talked about yesterday, that's the story of Ilfa v'Rabbi Yochanan. But there's a very nice addendum to this story, and that is the Reb Reuven Margolis in his classic work, Margolis Hayam, a Masechta Sanhedrin. In the Hakdama, he brings this story, and he says that he believes that Ilfa, although he was an Amoira, a person that really lived, this is a real story, but he's also symbolic of a type of person and of a role that a person could have in Klal Yisrael. He says, we're accustomed to thinking of Yisachar and Zvulun. So Yisachar sits and learns Torah. He accomplishes great things in the Beis Medrash. And Zvulun goes out to work. He's Mefarnes Yisachar. Without Yisachar, you can't have Zvulun. But says the Margolis Hayam, there's another Musik, and that is Ilfa. Ilfa was someone that had gone to work, someone that left the Koisle Beis Medrash, and at the same time he contributed immensely to Torah. And he quotes a few places in Bavli and Yerushalmi where Ilfa's mentioned, and he brings how Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Gedolei Amira. Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is always kemoisa. If he argues with Rav and Shmuel, we spoke of Rav and Shmuel last week. Rav and Shmuel argue with Rabbi Yochanan, halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan. The great Rabbi Yochanan had a tremendous erech, a tremendous respect for who Ilfa was, despite the fact that he was a quote-unquote, what we would call today, Baal Bas. He had gone to work, and he still contributed immensely, and he believes he's symbolic of a koyach, of a midah. It's possible, it's not all or nothing. You could go out, and you could still be Ilfa, you could still accomplish tremendously. The Velt says that Reb Reuven Margolis wrote this in the Hakdama to Sefer, because he himself was a librarian, and he was almost like a hisnatzlus. Here he's about to write a groundbreaking work on Masechta Sanhedrin, a sefer that's used very much in the Koisle Beis Medrash, and almost as a hisnatzlus, who am I to write such a sefer? So the hakdama to his sefer is Ilfa v'Rabbi Yochanan. Fascinating. On the bottom they bring that from Rabbi Avram Danzik, he was the mechaber of the Chayi Adam and the Chachmas Adam, who too was a Baal Bas, and he talks about how people are going to say, who's Rabbi Avram Danzig? Which Rabbi Avram Danzig wrote the Chai Adam? The one that I used to meet in the Shuk who was doing business. See, he says beautiful Lashonis. We've spoken this out in the past. Inside, where he says, he says, the Seichrim and Leipzig could say Eidus on me, that they used to see me in the Shuk, but wherever they saw me, I was always holding a Sefer. He writes that he used to always learn Daf Umechza, a Daf blot and a half. So this was pre-Daf Yomi, but he used to always learn a blot. He finished a lot quicker. But he used to always learn a Daf and a half, and he says that despite the fact that he worked, and really his Kfias was as a Seichrim, but he still made sure that he was able to accomplish a lot of learning. But again, you can't go through a Gemara with Ilfa without mentioning mentioning Gilfa, but this was a sugya about Netilas Sedayim. Netilas Sedayim is something that's very much halacha l'maisa. So just a few things. Number one, so the Mishnah, the Gemara brought a Mishnah that said that the shear for Netilas Sedayim is a revias. So you have to start off with a cup that has a revias inside of it. However, the Mishnah said a chiddush that you can use this revias not just for one person, but two people can use the same revias. There's a Gemara, Mesech de Shabbos, Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara brings a Braise, a Tana. Gimel Dvar Mevienis Adam Ledeanias. There are three things that causes a person to become an Ani. The Eluhain. Hamashtin Mayen Bifnei Mitasoi, Orum. Mezalzabil Netilas Adayim, that's one that we need. Vishishtoi Mekalalasoi Befanav. So these three things can cause a person to become an Ani. So the one that we need is Mezalzabil Netilas Adayim. Oh, my Rava, Rava said, Lo Yamorin, Eladle Moshe Yodikla. When we say that someone that's Mezalzabil Netilas Adayim, it's a skula for Anius, not Ashirus, that's only if he doesn't wash his hands at all. Avol Masha Veloy Masha, if he washes his hands a little bit, less Loimba. Then it's okay. So if you don't wash your hands at all, then it's going to be an issue. But don't think that if you're a masha v'loy masha, you're considered a mezalzim and a tilas yadayim. No, if you're a masha v'loy masha, less limbo. But the Gemara says v'lav milsi, it's not true. Meaning, even if you're a masha v'loy masha, still you're considered a mezalzim and a tilas yadayim, and it can still cause a person to come with the anilas. The Amr Rav Chizda said, anam mashoi m'loy chafni maya. When I used to wash the tilas yadayim, I used to use a lot of water. V'yavali m'loy chafni tivusa. And in exchange for that, Hashem gave me a lot of ashiras. Rav Chizda, as we know, was very wealthy. The Gemara says in Masechtas Maikotin Dav Chav Chesam Aleph that Rava used to daven three tefillas every day. One of them was he should be a gvir like Rav Chizda. Ironically, he ended up marrying Rav Chizda's daughter. So it seems like that tefillah was answered in the literal sense. But he used to daven every day that he should be like Rav Chizda. There's another Gemara where the Gemara says Rav Chizda said, for me, it's better that I have daughters than I have sons. He said, why? Because I'm tired of the gedula. He said, everyone's going to want to be mishadach with me. My sons, I can't predict how they're going to come out. But the fact that I'll get good Adams is Pashut. Number one, I'm Rav Chizda. And number two, he said, I'm a Gvir, so I could support. And in fact, Rami Bar Choma was an Adam, Rava was an Adam, so Rav Chizda really was Zaycha to have tremendous Adams. But either way, the Gemara says that in the Hava Mina, that Umezalzim in the Tilas Yadayim means only someone that's Loy Masha Yodiklau. But someone that's a Masha Veloy Masha, less Limba. Says Rashi, what does Masha Veloy Masha mean? So Rashi says, She'ene Reichet Umeshaf Shef Yof. It doesn't use so much water. Ela Ma'at Mayim. He uses a little bit. Kigay Revius Mitzunsen. He uses an exact Revius. So he said, this Mishnah is really the first Mishnah Mesechtis Yod. Oh, so it says, that's what Rashi says. The Vilna Goyen in his Pirush HaMishnayas, and the first Mishnah Mesechtis Yadayim says, I don't understand Rashi. There was a havamin in the Gemara that if you use a revias mitzumtzum of water, it should bring lidei anius. If the halach and shulchan aruch is use a revias, you're using a revias. Why should that be a problem? Says the Gra, I'll tell you a different pshat. I think the pshat in the Gemara, mashav le mashav, means where you're using a revias, but not just one person's using a revias. Two people are using a revias. And we had the Gemara here, where the Gemara said that two people are allowed to use a revias. So although two people are allowed to use it, it's a bidiyevit. And it's called a mashav v'loy mashav. And it's over there that the Gemara is discussing this in between stage of mashav le mashav. But it doesn't mean that you use the revias, because if you use the revias, then there's no reason that should be an issue. So what's the halacha l'maaseh in Shulchan Aruch as it relates to the shear of how much water you need to use for Netilas Yadayim? So the Mechaber in Hilchas Netilas Yadayim Simen Kuf Samach Sifkot Yud Gimel Tzorich Sheyehei B'mayim Revias. You have to have a revias water. V'hani Mili Le'echad. Then the Mechaber says that according to everybody, for one person, and there is even a yesh matirim that if two people are going to use the water, it's going to be fine there as well, which is our sugi. But either way, the shear is a revias. Stating that, the mechaber in Simen Kuf Nun Ches of Cotton Yud brings this memory of Rav Chizda. Afal pishish yurim b'revias, yosef lita b'shefa. A person should use a lot of water when it comes to washing the tilas yadayim. Om Rav Chizda, because Rav Chizda said, anom mashoi m'loi chofni mayo, I used to use a lot of water, v'yobili m'loi chofni tivusa. So the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Nun Ches quotes this memra of Rav Chizda, that there's an idea to use a lot of water. A lot of water is a school of Ashiras. Mishnah Berurah says that even though the Mechaber said that the shear is revias, the katchila, what it means is one revias for both hands. However, he quotes something that he said later, that it's more lekatchila to use a revius for each hand. So not one revius for two hands, but rather a revius for each independent hand. But that's all like b'di'evit. Lekatchila, the Mechaber is quoting this member for Rav Chisda. There's an idea to use a lot of water. But yesh lachka, when we say there's an idea to use a lot of water, does that mean each time you wash your hands, just pour as much water as you possibly can? Or maybe is there even an idea to wash your hands many times? So I'll tell you something interesting. I saw once from the Yisoid Sherish Vavoida. He brings that there's a minute kadmoinim that when they wash the Tilas Yadayim, he heard that they wash each hand 14 times. Not two, not three. Sounds like a Rebbe Shemitic. 14 times they wash each hand, and he praises the minute. He says, Ashrei Chelkom. He says it's a really wonderful thing. So you see, there is an idea to wash many times. Maybe that's included here in what Rav Chisda said. Meaning, is it Echos? Each time you're washing, use more water? Or does it mean Kamos to use a lot of water? But I'll just tell you one other interesting thing, and that is that the Rambam in Hilchas Mikvois, this is Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. The Rambam's discussing a mikvah. Someone that's tummy is toibling in a mikvah. Vahatoivel pamayim b'mikvah harezeh maguna. Someone that toivels in a mikvah two times, it's maguna. So the mini Yisrael is people go into the mikvah. They dunk their head a couple of times. But it's a mecha, it's a Rambam. Hatoivel pamayim b'mikvah harezeh maguna. There's a tshuva from the Netziv in the Meshev Dover. It's Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Zayin. Where the Netziv says, he was asked that someone told him that the minig noshim is that when they toivel many times in order to be tar from Tumas Nida. So the question was, does it work with this Rambam? The Rambam says, Areza Maguna. So the Netziv says it's poshut to him that when the Rambam said Areza Maguna, it means somebody toiveled in the mikvah, he went out of the mikvah, and he went back into the mikvah. But he says, as long as you're in the mikvah, you can dip your head in the mikvah as many times as you want. It has nothing to do with Areza Maguna. So if somebody that toivels, dunks his head, come upon him, that has nothing to do with this Rambam. But either way, when it comes to going in and out, there you have a Mefurish and Rambam Areza Maguna. If you're staying in the mikvah, you just want to dunk your head in several times. So there, that the Netziv said has nothing to do with this Rambam. As it relates to Netilas Yadayim, the Mechaber in Kuf Nun Ches quotes Rav Chisda, Not Mashoim Leichofni Maya V'yavili Leichofni Tivusa. So apparently that's a good thing. Does it mean that each time you wash, or maybe there's an idea of Yud Dalit Filos, is already Hoichazachin. But either way, the basic idea of using a lot of water is not Hoichazachin. This is a Gemara Mesach the Shabbos Tav Samach Beis, and it's something that's brought down in Halacha. That's one interesting thing. Another thing that we had in the Gemara was, the Gemara discussed washing your hands l'chatzon. So what would it be if somebody washed some of his hand, dried it, and then washed the rest of his hand? Rashi over here, two lines from the bottom. Palgo, palgo de yode, ad ha perek havi mitzvah satil. So Rashi says, well, how much of your hand do you have to wash? So we're discussing half the area. You have to know what the area is. So how much of your hands do you have to wash? Rashi says, ad ha perek. The perek is the knuckles. So according to Rashi, Rashi's shita seems to be that the chiyuv netil sidayim is up until your knuckles. Sounds a little bit like a chiddush. Says the Mechaber in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph of Katan Dalet. Shir Netilas Yadayim Kolayad. It's the entire hand. Ad Akonash Al Ezra, until your arm. V'yesh Oimrim, Ad Mokim Chibar Ha'etzpois L'Kafayad. No, it's only up until your knuckles. V'ro'i Linoi Kedas HaRishon. It's appropriate to follow the first minig and to actually wash your whole hand. Says the Mishnah Brura, V'ro'i Linoi Gratzoloimer. After Midina, Misha Yirtzal HaKol Gedei Shnei Eichet Moichem Yadai, even though Me'ikra Adin, it sounds like if somebody wants to be Mekel, he can. Not just that. Kol sofik netilas yadayim l'kula. So if you have a sofik l'halacha, and it's a sofik netilas yadayim, usually go l'kula. So the halacha certainly should be up until your knuckles. Yet mikol mokim l'katchila roi l'hachmer k'day rishayna. L'katchila, however, he says you should be machmer like the day rishayna. So the way the Mishnah Berurah understands the literal reading of the Mechaber, mi ikar adin up until your knuckles. L'katchila, that's the lashon haShulchan Aruch. V'ro'i linoi k'das harishayin. You should wash your own hand. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, there are times when you're not supposed to wash your hands, so we're soymich like this day of Rishayna. But really, mi'ikar adin, says the Shulchan Aruch, or the Mishnah Berurah, you can always rely on the day of Rishayna. It's just a roi, it's appropriate to go linoi kedas harishon. In the Bir Halacha, there's an arichos, it's a two-page Bir Halacha, where the Bir Halacha says that he believes, however, that this understanding of the Shulchan Aruch is a chiddush. He says, because if you go through the Rishayna in Shas, ruba de ruba of Rishayna hold that mi'ikra, then you have to wash up until your wrist, your entire hand, not up until your knuckles. When he lists the Rishayna that hold up until the knuckles, one of those Rishayna Meshitas Rashi. But he says that there's no question that l'katchila, it shouldn't just be a roi linoi, it's something that should be treated mi'ikar hadin. he does add two interesting things. Number one, b'shas atchak, you certainly could be soymechan up until the knuckles. There's no question about that. And then he says one other thing, that there's a whole shmooze of how much water you have to use. A revius, could two people use a revius? Revius for both hands, do you need a special revius for one hand? He says it's pashit, the only time you can ever be makel in revius is if you're also being makel, you're going up until the knuckles. The two atoli zebezeh. So if all you had to wash was up until the knuckles, so then one revius can work for two people's two hands. But if you're washing your whole hand already, then it's pashit, he says you have to be a lot more makbid to make sure that you're going to use water, more water as it relates to that. Just one other interesting halacha regarding Tilas Yadayim, and then we'll go weiter because there's some more interesting halacha we have to get to. But one other interesting halacha, and that is, do you wash your right hand first or do you wash your left hand first? So if you ask your three-year-old kid, he's going to tell you, of course your right hand first. And the truth is, he's really right. It's a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says you're supposed to wash your right hand first. Where it becomes a little tricky is that there's a Zohar HaKadosh. Beis Yosef quotes a Zohar, Simen Dalet, Merchayim. The Zohar says that you're supposed to first wash your left hand. And there's a whole tumult. What did the Zohar mean when he says your left hand first? Beis Yosef himself says that it could be that the Zohar felt that there's a chiluk between washing your hands for Negel Vaser and washing your hands for Netilas Yadayim for Hamoitzi. And the Zohar only meant it for Hamoitzi. So when you wash Hamoitzi, first your left hand and then your right hand. Lamaisa, I saw a tshuva from a Moshe Nigros Moshe where he was asked right hand, left hand. So he said something interesting. He says that there are the chassidim and there are people that follow the Zohar HaKadosh. So when it comes to a shayla of Zohar versus Shulchan Aruch, sometimes they will defer to the Zohar. But he says he thinks when it regards to this halacha, it's a tais. Because he found Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Siddur, who he said always had bias towards the Zohar, says you're supposed to do your right hand first. This is something Rabbi Moshe says. And he says that the Vilna Gaon and the Maaser Rav, I looked it up, also says that you're supposed to do your right hand first, even regarding the Netilas Yadayim. And he says, despite the fact that he saw b'shem the Kav HaYashar, that the Kav HaYashar held you should do your left hand first, and I saw in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, they bring from the Ari HaKadosh. The Arizal used to also wash his left hand first. So there is precedence already for your left hand first. But Lamaisa, Rav Moshe says it's Poshid, Alocha Lamaisa, it should be your right hand, but not as Poshid as we may have thought. Says the Gemara Vayta, Om Rabbi Yirmiyo, Harei Omru, Haba Roshoy Verubay B'mayim She'uvin. If somebody goes, Roshoy Verubay B'mayim She'uvin, V'tor She'naflu Al Roshoy Verubay Shloy Shalugim Mayim She'uvin, Tomei. Now back in the day, Mikvois were not as clean as they are today. They were actually rather dirty. So what people used to do is, if they were tamei, they had to be tovel in a mikvah, after they emerged from the mikvah, they would wash themselves, they would take the proverbial shower, they would pour some clean water on top of them, or they would go into a clean body of water to make themselves tar. Chum had a major problem with that, because the Chum felt that it looks almost like it's the clean water that's making them tar, it's not the mikvah that's making them tar, and a lot of bad things can come from that. So Chum made a takana, that any person that's a tvol yoy, means he went to the mikvah, and then afterwards, he poured clean water on top of him, mayim she'uvim, water that would be otherwise possible for a mikvah, he is going to become tamei. So the mayim she'uvim, not only is it not a matar, but it would actually make him tamei. And it doesn't matter if he poured the water on top of him, or if he went into a body of water, either way he's going to be tahar. Additionally, they said a regular tahar, someone that's not even at full yom, if he pours mayim she'uvim on top of him, he also becomes tahar. So someone took a shower with mayim she'uvim back in the day, he had problems. He became tahar. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked the following shayla. What would be if somebody went to the mikvah, and after he went to the mikvah, he poured some mayim she'uvim on top of him, and he also went into a body of mayim she'uvim. So it was chetzioi bebiya, boy Rabbi Yirmiya, chetzioi bebiya, the chetzioi ben afilo, my, a yumit starif, the water that went on his body via beer, and the water that went in his body via nefila to make him tame. Amra papa. So the Gemara says, Teku. Amra papa. Another shayla. Hari amru balkeri choylo shenosnu all of tisha kabe mayim tahar. The halacha is that a balkeri, someone that had zera leave his body, is tame. Halacha is a balkeri, even if it happened beheter. It doesn't have to be levatola. Even if it happened b'shas tashmish with his wife, he is a balkeri, he's tame. Which means that back in the day, he wasn't allowed to walk into the base of mikdash. He couldn't eat truma, he couldn't touch him, he was considered a regular person that's tameh. However, there's a famous takana that Ezra made, and that is that a balkeri, not only should he be treated tameh with regards to the halachas of mikdash v'kadashav, but a balkeri should not learn Torah. A balkeri should not recite kriyishma. And the Gemara Masech Tes Brachos, the Afcha Beis Amanal, gives two reasons why Ezra made this takana, meaning midday raisa, balkeri is allowed to learn Torah. Balkeri just has to be careful from Tumas Mikdash V'Gadashav. But as it relates to Lurei Torah, things like that, there wouldn't be an issue. Ezra said a Chiddush, Ezra made a Takana that a Balkeri is not allowed to learn Torah either. And the Gemara says two reasons. One reason is because Torah has to be learned Be'ema, Be'ira, Be'resis, Be'zeya. There's a certain Yira that a person has to have while he's learning Torah. Balkeri obviously was involved in Kalas Reish, and therefore you're not supposed to learn Torah while you're Balkeri. Make yourself tar, and then you learn Torah. Another reason he said was Shleihiu. He was trying to prevent Talmid Chacham from being with their wives so often. So if a Talmid Chacham who learns Torah after he's with his wife is not going to be allowed to learn Torah, so he's sort of disincentivizing them from learning Torah. I'll just tell you one interesting thing, that his Lashon is Ketar Negoilim. That's the Lashon HaGemara. I left the Chumash. But his Lashon is Ketar Negoilim. There's a Balaturim in Parshas Balak, where the Balaturim says that Bilam said, Noum HaGever. He refers to him as a Gever. Why a Gever? So the Baal Turim says, because we know the Mishnah, Mesachtes Yuma, Akreis HaGever. A Gever was a rooster. And the Gemara says, Shla Yehu B'naisi, Talmidei Chachom Mitzuyin, Eitzel Nishay Seyev, Ketar Negoilim. So you see, the Tarnagoilim were very much Shtufei Zima. Bilam himself was Shtufei Zima. He was Boyol Asoinoi, his donkey, no less. And as a result, the Torah refers to him as a Gever, as a rooster, because the rooster is the animal that's symbolic for someone that's very involved in Tashmis. That's why Bilam is referred to as Noum HaGever. Very interesting. But either way, so Midai Raisa, a Balkeri is fine. It's only a Takana from Ezra that a Balkeri has to make himself Tar. He has to be Toivol if he's going to want to learn Tar. Being that it's only Midrabbanan that he has to be Matar himself, there were big coolers that were said, such as Mayim Shuvim, which usually is possible for a Mikvah. A Balkeri that's Toivol Mayim Shuvim, he's Tar. He's not going to be Tommy. Another Chiddush is Tisha Kabin, that if someone's a Balkeri and Tisha Kabin of Mayim Shuvim, that's a certain amount, fall on top of him, that in itself would make him tar as well. That initially was instituted only for a chayla, but b'shas adchak, people rely on Tisha Kabin. So Amr HaPapa, Hare Amru, they said, Balkeri chayla, shenosnu all of Tisha Kabin, mayim tahar, meaning he doesn't have to go into a mikvah, even if only Tisha Kabin of mayim tar fall on top of him, he's also going to be tar. So Boy HaPapa, HaPapa said, chetzia b'tfilo, b'chetzia b'nesina mal. What would be if this Balkeri, part of his body went into a mikvah, and the other part of his body only had Tisha Kabin of water that fell on top of him. Is he going to be tar or not? Could he be mitzaref a little bit of Tisha Kabin and a little bit of a mikvah? So the Gemara says, Teku. So we have some interesting halacha l'maisa to talk out, but let's finish the da first, and either if there's probably won't be time, maybe we'll start with this tomorrow. Some interesting halacha. Zok Gemara. Echad oimer b'fanai nechtav, ve'echad oimer b'fanai nechtav. So the Mishnah said that if two people come, min medina sayam l'eretz Yisrael, one said b'fanai nechtav, the other one said b'fanei nechtav, said Mishnah said pasul. What if two people said b'faneinu nechtav and one person said b'fanei nechtav? There was a machlokes in the Mishnah. The Tana Kama, the Mishnah says pasul. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says kosher. Zok to Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. This that the Mishnah said that if two people come with a get from Medina Sayyam, one says b'fanei nechtav, one says b'fanei nechtav, the halacha is it's pasul. That's only true she'ein aget yoytzim b'tachzei eshtem. If they're both not shulchan, they're not both holding the get. Avol get yoytzim. But if they're both shluchim, meaning they're both holding the get, then the halacha is kosher. Then it's going to be kosher. And what's the reason? Alma kasavar. So you see, Rabbi Yechanan was of the opinion that shnayim sheviu get from Medina Sayyam, that if two shluchim bring a get from Medina Sayyam, ain't tzrichin sheyoyim rubufaneinu nechtav, ubufaneinu nechtav. Meaning, although the Mishnah said, amevi get from Medina Sayyam, tzarech sheyoyimar, that's only amevi, lashon yachid, if one shliach is bringing the get. But if two shluchim bring the get, then you don't have this halacha of bufanei nechtav, bufanei nechtav. What would be the reason? So Rashi says, presumably because Rabbi Yechanan holds like Grav. But the whole reason you say b'fanai nechtam is l'fisha in edem mitzuyim l'kaimoy. But here you have two shluchim. So you have two shluchim. If the husband's going to come later, he's going to be ma'arer. Let the two shluchim come and verify the chsimas. So the whole sibas hatakono is irrelevant when you have two shluchim. And as a result, two people that bring a get won't have to say. Tosfos says that based on the hekif of the first parak of Masechtas Gittin, you can learn this Gemara even according to Rabbah. Even Rabbah that holds that in addition to the chash of Lefisha in Edom Mitzuyim L'kaimoy, there's also a concern of Lefisha in Bekiyim L'shma. However, the Gemara said, La'achar Shalom, there was a time where the Chachamim were very comfortable that even the one or two seifim that they once thought maybe doesn't know the halacha of L'shma, does know the halacha of L'shma. And even though they were mevatel the takana of B'fanei Nechtav, Gzeira Shemayachzer Adabal Kukuloi, but there were certain kulas that they were comfortable issuing once people knew the halachas. One of those kulas were that any time you have a shlichos, which is a milsa deloy shchicha, you don't have to say b'fana nechtav. For two people to bring a get is a milsa deloy shchicha. That's a gemara earlier, daf hey amid aleph. And it's for that reason, it could be that this kosovar, two shluchim that bring a get from dinas yam, don't have to say b'fana nechtav. Doesn't dafka have to be according to Rava, but it could be true according to Rabba as well. Amalei Abaya. Abaya said, elamiyato. If that's true, that the line of the Mishnah that says, echot oymer b'fana nechtav, the echot oymer b'fana nechtav, is talking about where they weren't shluchim. Again, because if they were shluchim, then it wouldn't be a problem, because you don't have to say b'fana nechtav anyways. Say for the next line of the Mishnah, where we had a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, shnayim oymer b'fana nechtav, the echot oymer b'fana nechtav, where two people said b'fana nechtav, and one said b'fana nechtav, pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So you'd have to say the same thing. Time of the inaget yoytzim etachzei Hashem. You have to be consistent. That case also has to be talking about where the two people or the three people are not shluchim. Haget yoytzim etachzei Hashem. Machshir abon. Right? You're telling me that if two shluchim bring a get, you don't have to say b'fanai nechtav at all. So certainly in that case, it's going to be kosher as well. I'm like, yeah, absolutely, it's going to be kosher. So this kasher, the follow up question was, v'chi ain't get yoytzim etachzei Hashem. But my plea, in other words, then what's pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? How could Rabbi Yehuda say kosher? If they're not shluchim, and you have to say b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtav, then why would Rabbi Yehuda say that when two Edom say b'fanai nechtav, and one says b'fanai nechtav, it's going to be kosher? And just to add to that, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the first line of the Mishnah. He didn't argue with the first line of the Mishnah. We'll see a little bit more about that later. But it sounds like if one would say b'fanai nechtav, one would say b'fanai nechtav, Rabbi Yehuda would have a problem with it. If two say b'fanai nechtav, and one say b'fanai nechtav, then we do have an issue. If they're not shluchim, so you have a chiyuv to say b'fanai nechtav, why would Rabbi Yehuda say it's kosher? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you Pshana Rabbi Yehuda, and what the beer in the Machloik is, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in that line of the Mishnah is, Mar Sova Gazrina Duma Asi Lechlufi Bekim Shtaris the Alma Beidechot, Umar Sova Loi Gazrina. The way Rashi learns the Gemara, it's very Gishmak. The Gemara really is going according to Rava. Rava holds that the reason the Chachamim made a Takana B'fanai Nechtav is, Lefisha Eneida Mitzuyim Lekaima. Based on that, really, Shliach should only have to say b'fanai nechtav. You shouldn't have to say b'fanai nechtav. Why? Because all you're really concerned with is the chasimais, which was really the Gemara's kasha, the beginning of the Masechta, daf gimel amenav. Why then do you say b'fanai nechtav? We're concerned. Dilma asi lachluf, they became shtaris ba'alma. Because being that it's only one shliach, mishumiguna kilu be'rabanon, shliach neid echad is believed, we're concerned that people are going to say, oh, neid echad is believed to be mekayim the chasimah, so kiyim shtaris na'am is always going to be kosher beid echad. So we wanted to make it not look like a regular kiyim shtaris. How do you make it not look like a kiyim shtaris? Make it takana. You have to say b'fanai nechtav as well. That's the reason you need b'fanai nechtav. Argues Rabbi Yehuda, if two edim are saying b'faneinu nechtav, even if it's not the shliach, so that it's really not oisgehalten with the real takana b'fanai nechtav, which requires one shliach to say both. But if you have two edim saying it, already doesn't look like kiyim shtaris. And if it doesn't look like Kim Shtar's Dalma, I have no problem being machshirit. The ikur was anyways the b'fanai nechtav. And that the shliach said. The problem was he didn't say b'fanai nechtav. Why do you say b'fanai nechtav so that we shouldn't confuse it with regular Kim Shtar's? Here you have two edim saying b'fanai nechtav. He anyways not confusing it with regular Kim Shtar's. Rabbanan argued, Rabbanan say no. It's a takana. You need a shliach to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. Without that takana, it's going to be a problem. But either way, the first lishna in this gemara is that the mishnah that says echad oymer b'fanai nechtav, echad b'fanai nechtav, pasul, or two people say b'fanai nechtav, one says b'fanai nechtav, machlokes reviv and rabbanon, is talking about where the two people were not shluchim. Because if they were shluchim, you wouldn't have to say b'fanai nechtav at all, either because Rava, or even according to Rabbah, la'achas shalomdu. Lishnachim, there's another lishna in the gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, afilu get yoytze mitachas yishdeim pasul. Now, when the Mishnah said that one sebefanai nechtav, it's pasul, it's talking about even if they were both shluchim. Alma kosavar, so you see that Rabbi Yechanan holds that shnayim shev yugat m'dina sayom, if two shluchim bring a gefim, dina sayom, tzrichin sheyoimru, befaneinu nechtav, fenei nechtav. Because if they are both shluchim, and still it's pasul, where one says befanai nechtav, one says befanai nechtav. So you see, even when you have two shluchim, you do have to say befaneinu nechtav. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya said el miyato. So again, being consistent, same Gemara like we just had, say for the next case of the Mishnah, diktoni shnayim oimru befaneinu nechtav. Is it going to be true even where you had to shluchim? Meaning the Rabbanan are going to say it's possible even they were both shluchim, and two said b'faneinu nechtav, and only one said b'fanei nechtav. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But what then is the machloik? So what's the machloik? Is according to the second lishna of the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. There's a Tosfos here where Tosfos is bothered. Why couldn't the Gemara explain the machloikis in the second lishna the same way it explained the machloikis in the first lishna? So you have here the fourth to bottom Tosfos. But either way, the Gemara's question is, according to this lishna that Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham are arguing where there were two shluchim, what's the machloikis, whether it's okay or not, where two said b'faneinu nechtav, and the other one said b'fanei nechtav, or only one of them said b'fanei nechtav, says the Gemara, mar sovar l'fishay mekiyin l'shma, umar sovar l'fishay neidem etzuyim l'kayim. Maybe the machloikis is the age-old machloikis, the machloikis Rabbi and Rava. If you hold l'fishay mekiyin l'shma, then who cares if two people brought it? You still have to say b'fanei nechtav. If, however, it's l'fishay neidem etzuyim l'kayim, if two people bring it, then you don't have the issue of b'fanei nechtav. But then the Gemara says, lema de Rabbi v'Rava tanoihi. According to the second Lishna and Rabbi Yochanan, should it come out then the Machloikis Rabbi and Rav is really Machloikis Hanam? So the Gemara says, it's not Muchach. Meaning, Rav will have his way of explaining both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham and the Mishnah that they both hold the Vishay Neidem Mitzuyim Lekaimoy, and Rabbi will have his way of explaining the Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham that they both hold the Vishay and Bikin Lishma. How so? Rav Mataritz Kalishna Kama. Rav is very simple. Rav is going to say that I hold that the Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham is not like Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Basra. It's like Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Kama. It's talking about where they were in Shluchim. And that's why, if one says b'fanei nechtav, or one says b'fanei nechtav, even if two say b'fanei nechtav, and one says b'fanei nechtav, there's going to be issues. But enechinami, if they were both shluchim, everybody would agree it's not a problem, because if you hold the v'she'enei demetzuim l'kaimoy, if two people bring a get medina sayom, it's never an issue. V'rabba, how's Rabba going to explain it? The kuliyama bina l'shma. Everybody holds that the takana was the v'she'en b'kiyin l'shma. What then is the machloikis? If it's the v'she'en b'kiyin l'shma, the kashas and Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that where there are two shluchim, you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav? If the chshash is l'shma, you should have to say b'fanei nechtav. What we spoke about before. It's talking about l'acha shalamdu. At that point, there was no real chshash anymore. The only reason you even say b'fanei nechtav, l'fi shein b'kin l'shma, is b'gzeir shem yachzor adav l'kulkuloi. But l'acha shalamdu, where two people brought it, it's a milsud l'shchicha, l'gazru b'rabbanon for the gzeir shem yachzor adav l'kulkuloi, and it's that exactly, kamiflagi, that's exactly what they're arguing about. The Mar Sovar Gazrinon, Umar Sovar Loi Gazrinon. Again, we're going through the Gemara a little quickly, I hope thoroughly, but it's not such a complicated Gemara if you slow down a little bit. V'liflag, the recorder, V'liflag Nami says the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda Bereisha, but the Gemara then asks a Gishmak Akasha. Why did Rabbi Yehuda only argue with the Seifa? Why did Rabbi Yehuda argue with the Reisha? Either pshat that we had here in Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying that when two shluchim bring a get from Medina Sayam, you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. So if you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav, that's why when two say b'faneinu nechtav and one says b'fanei nechtav, it's kosher. So for the same price, if one says b'fanei nechtav and one says b'fanei nechtav, it should also be kosher. If the whole point is, because you have two, so you don't have to say it, so it doesn't matter that they got it wrong, you didn't have to do anything, it's all extra credit anyways. So when one says b'fanei nechtav and one says b'fanei nechtav, shouldn't the halacha be the same? So the Gemara says, you're right, it's an excellent question, and in fact, you're right. Ha'itmar Allah, Amar Ula, Cholokai Rabbi Yehuda Aparishayna. Ula Taka said, the Rabbi Yehuda stated, even though in the Mishnah it sounds like he's only arguing in the case where Shnayim Oimru B'faneinu Nechtav, the Echadim B'faneinu Nechtav, really he was arguing in the first case as well. Masa Rabbi Shilu Ula, Rabbi Shilu has the Kashan Ula, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Bezu, V'loi Ba'acheres. No, when Rabbi Yehuda says Kashan in the Mishnah, it means Bizu, it's a braisa. This one, not the other one. My love, which other one did he not argue with? Doesn't it mean lemute echadayim b'fanei nechtav, echadayim b'fanei nechtav? Meaning he only said his halacha where two said b'faneinu nechtav, one said b'fanei nechtav, not where one said b'fanei nechtav and one said b'fanei nechtav. Where it says loy, could be really he would argue in that case as well. What then did he mean when he said zu v'loy acheres lemute b'fanei nechtam avaloy b'fanei nechtav? Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa means to say that although Rabbi Yehuda said b'faneinu nechtav, two people said b'faneinu nechtav, one says b'faneinu nechtav, it's kosher, don't make a mistake and think that if nobody said b'faneinu nechtav and all you have is b'faneinu nechtav, even then it should be kosher. And that's what the Braisa is saying. Zu l'me'utei acheres, l'me'utei, where if no one said b'faneinu nechtav, there Rabbi Yehuda never said kosher. There it's going to be possible. The question is, what was the havamina? Just because Rabbi Yehuda said, where two edim said b'faneinu nechtav and one said b'faneinu nechtav, it's kosher. That means if nobody said b'faneinu nechtav And one person said, "Befanei nechtav, it should be kosher." Gemara says, "Yeah, I'll tell you a geshmaka havamina." So I would have thought, just like Rabbi Yehuda said that where two people bring the get, which is a milsud leshchicha la'achas shalomdu, where the whole reason you're saying befanei nechtav is gzeirah shemayachzer adavol kukuloi, we're not going to the gzeirah because it's a milsud leshchicha. So I could have argued that dilma osi lechlufa became shtar is the amu beit echa nami loy gazar, that maybe the original chash where according to Rava the chachamim made a takana say befanei nechtav and befanei nechtav, but why befanei nechtav? Really, all you need is the Befanei Nechtam. It's still Ma'asi Lachlufa B'Kim Shtaras Ta'amo. You see, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about these far-fetched chashashes. Just like he wasn't worried about Shema Yachsa Adavol Kukuloi, maybe I could argue Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have been worried about Gzeri Shema Yachsa Adavol Kukuloi. So from Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, that two people say Befaneinu Nechtam, and one says Befanei Nechtam, you see from there, maybe that Rabbi Yehuda argues with the whole Befanei Nechtam in the first place. Because you see, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about Chashas. And just like he's not worried about Shema Yachsa Adavol Kukula by Milsud Lechicha, maybe he's not worried about Dilma Asi Lechlufi, Bekiyin Shtaris Na'amah. Kamash Malon, that's the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda said Kosher, where there are at least Edom saying Befaneinu Nechtam. That Shema Yachsa Adavol Kukula, he's not worried about. But that he shouldn't hold it a whole halacha Befanei Nechtam, because it doesn't hold of Dilma Asi Lachlufi became Shtaris Ta'amo, that you have no Raya. And then the last Gemara, Itmar Nami, a Mefurish, a Raya, like the second Lishna of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shnayim Sheheviu Get, Nimdina Sayam, Bonu, the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanu. What do you see from here? That the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanu, is Shnayim Sheheviu, even where there were two Shluchim. In other words, we had two Lishnois in the Gemara, had to understand the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah. These two people, were they Shluchim or were they not Shluchim? In Rabbi Yochanan's first Lishnah, they were Dafka not Shluchim. Because if they were Shluchim, you don't need Befanei Nechtav. In the second Lishnah, they were Dafka Shluchim. What would be the Bir Machloikis according to each one of the respective Lishnois? So that's a real Pshat Tava Gemara based on the first four or five blad of Masechtas Gittin. Again, you have to go through this slowly, Rashi Tosfos, to understand it a little bit better. But either way, as it relates to the bottom line, we have an Itmar Nami, we have a Raya, Shnayim Sheviyu Get. Tomorrow's Daf, incidentally, Daf Yud Zayin, is where when you learn Gittin in Yeshiva, so first Seder you start Daf Beis, and second Seder you start the Mishnah and Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. It's known as the Sugi of Zman. So it's a Yeshivish, a real longish Sugi here in the Masechtas Gittin, so we'll have to start with Tfilas Ezra. That's some interesting halacha, and Metz Hashem, we'll get into some of the real longish Sugis here in the Masechtas Gittin.